The last thing we mentioned was combining different foods at a kiddush.
Okay. So when you talk about the chokhmah to go, the yernim and tam, any past gomor, he's wrong. Say that we remember. If we left off last week, we were talking about the dinner of kiddush b'chom suda. And we presented the Shittas HaGaonim, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that Suda doesn't have to be a real Suda of bread, it can be a Suda of other kinds of fruit, zonos, maybe wine, maybe fruit, according to some. That was all within one whole Mahalach. But there was another Mahalach in the Rishonim, that the whole thing is not true, that Kiddush Baruch Hu Suda has to be Mamish. Suda's got to be Mamish Pas. What's the source for those who disagree with the Gaonim? So it's all based on a cryptic comment of Rabbi Natan, which we're going to talk about a lot as we continue the Sugyas. The Tam has a chiddush that for the purpose of the Shabbos, one doesn't really require pas. How do Rabbi Tam know that you don't require pas? Is that like pecha teisa? So where does it say that you have to have pas? The requirement of the Shabbos says it has to be a suda. What constitutes a suda? So the Gemara has in Maseches Sukkah and Abchav Zayin, Machlekes Nishtikos, Machlekes Atanoim, King Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbanon, how many meals must a person eat in the Sukkah? So Rabbi Eliezer darshins from the phrase Teishu, Teishu came to Duru, Madira Yom Balayla, Av Sukkah Yom Balayla, just as a regular deer, you eat breakfast and you eat dinner. Lunch is an American innovation, so you have to have a Siddhas Arab and a Siddhas Bokir. So too, to fulfill the din of Teishu, you to Duru, every day of Sukkah, Yom Tim Chalmud, you have to have a Suda's Boker and a Suda's Erev. That's the only way to fulfill the din of Teshuvah came to Duru properly. And the Mishnah says that the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer. The Chacham also darshaned Teshuvah came to Duru. Everything revolves around Teshuvah came to Duru. But whereas Rabbi Eliezer used Teshuvah came to Duru as a Mechayev, the Chacham used it as a Poiter. The Chacham said that just as during the course of the year, sometimes you don't eat a meal, so you skip a meal. You're in a run, you skip to get tested. Like, I say he misses a meal here and there. So the Chacham say, just as you miss meals here and there, you can miss a meal in Sukkahs also. It doesn't make a difference. That's all part of living. You just have to treat the Sukkah like your regular house. So the rest of the year, you treat your house, sometimes you eat something you don't eat. So to be by Yachli, by Loach. And then the Gemara asks the famous question, according to the Chacham, so why do you have to eat in the first night of Sukkahs? Because that's different. Because that's Xeris HaKos, Xeris Shava of Chanish As, Chanish Asaf HaMatzos. And that's a further big machlokes to Rishonim. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's a nuchia? It's called achila b'sukkah. It's not even called yeshiva anymore. Yeshiva b'sukkah is takla yiboy ochli boy lewacha. And the first night is a mitzvah achila. It's based on matzah. The shiur is a kedai. It's a whole different ballgame. But maybe not. What the Gemara is saying is that there are two parts of yeshiva b'sukkah. It's yeshiva during the rest of the week. And then on the first night, it's also yeshiva. It's the same fundamental mitzvah. There are not two parts of sukkah. It's one basic mitzvah. Just that it changes its stir a little bit. The rest of the week, it's yiboy ochli boy lewacha. On the first night, it's Mamash B'teris Chayim. But again, that's more of a Sukkah topic, not for now. So in the middle of discussing Shittas Rabbi Eliezer about a person eating the Yudal Tzudas in the Sukkah, so the Gemara entertains a very big Chiddush. The Gemara says that, what's the din? Rabbi Eliezer himself seems to entertain the possibility. What if a person forgot to eat a meal? Didn't get around to eating one of the meals in the Sukkah? So the Tanoim discussed the possibility, according to Rabbi Eliezer, of having Tashlumin. And maybe you can make it up on Shmini Atzeres. You can make it up on Shmini Atzeres. One other thing. You're not eating in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. Not because Rabbi Eliezer was a chosid, because he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. And Chutzal Shemuchuyim to eat in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. In Eretz Yisrael, it's innocent. They're Isaac Bel Toysif. So how are you going to make Tashlumin a very, very strange thing? So Gemara has a whole discussion about Chazayin and Sukkah, what kind of Tashlumin that is. So Gemara asks the question, the Mashlum, the Mai, what are you going to be Mashlum with? If you're going to be Mashlum with a regular meal, regular, you can sit down and have a challah, a sandwich. So that's Shmini Atzeres' meal. How's that considered with Tashlumin for Sukkot's meal? So he says, no, the Mashlim b'minei tagima. You're going to be Mashlim with other kinds of food that wouldn't really be required at Shmini Atzeres. I would eat my normal Shmini Atzeres meal, but I'm going to have a little something nash in the afternoon. So that nash in the afternoon, maybe Ken Zayin can substitute for the Tashlumin for the Yudal Tzudas of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara is Mamash going off on a tangent there within a shita that we don't even paskin like. And now that we not pass like that, the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer himself backed out from his own shita. So the whole thing is totally completely like Kavocha. But Rashi writes in Maseches Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin that Eilu Eilu Diver Lagim Chaya means that sometimes you have a shita that's legamer not accepted la halacha, but there are certain parts of that shita that become very, very relevant. And maybe the conclusion of that shita is not accepted, but some of the underlying principles of that shita are accepted. And sometimes we can extract those principles and plug them into something that is relevant. So that's exactly what Rabbi Natan did here. Also, Rabbi Natan, we have a whole shtickle, a whole deal from Rabbi Eliezer's sheet, a sheet that we have been basking like. Says Rabbi Natan, he says that you see from the Lehazah Shita that there's a fundamental chiyuv called Yudal Sudas, and you see that the term Seuda doesn't necessarily mean bread, because you're being mashed in that chiyuv, you're making teshlumim for that chiyuv of Seuda, but something which is short of bread, which is shy of bread, which is just minitagima. What are these mysterious minitagimas? So there happens to be a three machlekes rishon on what the minitagima even are. Rashi writes that minitagima are fruit, and Rabbi Peretz writes that minitagima are things that come to the office of pas, fish, and meat, and cheese. And the Rosh writes in the Sefer Sugya that minitagima are mezonos. Why do we care so much? Why do we spend so much time figuring out where Rabbi Eliezer's minitagima are? Because the Gemara in Yuma says that you see from Rabbi Eliezer Shita that minitagima chayav in Sugya. That normally if a person eats a snack, we eat achilas aray, so an achilas aray doesn't have to be done in the sukkah. Because teishu kein tadur, teishu rites means only those things that you normally eat in your house have to be eaten in the sukkah. Things that you would grab on the run don't have to be eaten in the sukkah. So the Gemara says in Yuma that minitagima chayav in sukkah. How do I know? Because according to Eliezer, the minitagima being used to as a tashlumen for the mitzvah sukkah, how can you be mashed in the mitzvah sukkah with something itself that doesn't even warrant the sukkah in the first place? So it's clear from the Gemara that minitagima chayav in sukkah. So again, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, we paskin that there is no chiyuv altogether for 14 meals, but that part of Rabbi Eliezer, we do extract the halacha. That's why in Shulchan Aruch we paskin minitagima or chayav in sukkah. What's called minitagima, then Rishonim are fighting it out. Either it's peiros, either it's the basa v'dagim, or it's minitagim. It's fine. So comes Rabbi Natan.
Where's
Rabbi Natan? It's quoted Taisus, quoted in Masechah Sukkah, not Chazayin. It's quoted in Ben Yerim. Brachas quoted, all Rishonim quotes Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan still trying to make it relevant for us. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, you see from Rabbi Eliezer Shita that the bare-bone definition of Suda doesn't mean bread. Because the chiyuv is the chiyuv of yudal tzudas. That's the lashon haMishnah. The lashon yudal tzudas lechayv al lechol b'sukkah. And you see that one can fulfill the obligation of the suda with something which is short of bread, namely minetagim, whatever you think minetagim is. So since we're at the Gemara says in Shabbos chayv adam lechol gibel sudas b'shabbos. The same lashon, the same Rebbe Eliezer says chayv adam lechol yudal tzudas b'sukkah. So it says in the Gemara according to everybody chayv adam lechol gibel sudas b'shabbos. So Rabbi Natan says, "Gzersham, suda suda gzersham." Literally, says that just as the word suda in Rabbi Eliezer's dictionary, his halachapedia, doesn't require bread, even minitagima good enough. So to an Arab Wikipedia, an Arab halachapedia, an Arab definition of suda Shabbos, so one need not eat bread for suda Shabbos as long as one eats minitagima, whatever it is—fruit, mezonos, meat, whatever it is—so that would be okay. So it comes out according to Rabbi Natan, as we follow Rabbi Natan, according to Rabbi Natan, called an unbelievable chiddush. That a person can comes home from shul Friday night and eats an apple according to Rashi's definition of minitagima. So he has an apple for Friday night, an orange for Shabbos morning, a banana for Shalosh Shudas. He says, yeah, it's a gimel sudas. Or if you're more machmir, you're firmer than Rashi, so you hold like Rabbi Parents. So he has a piece of gefilte fish Friday night. He has a slice of deli Shabbos morning, and he has a piece of cheese. If he's ready milk, he has a piece of cheese for Shalosh Shudas. And sure, that's it, no bread. And if you're really really firm, like the Rosh. Then Friday night you have a piece of lachshikovel. Shabbos morning you have a bowl of cereal, and mezonos cereal. And Shabbos afternoon you have a bowl of pasta, and you know, you're home free. So according to Rabbi Natan, it's gevaldik. You could be yaitz the chiv of gimel sudas without any mention, no chalak. Save a lot of save some calories on that. No chalak, no nothing. So the Rishonim point out that Rabbi Natan cannot mean what he sounds like he's saying. That you can just be yaitz the Shabbos just like that and never eat bread in the entire Shabbos. It's against the Beferish of Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas in the seventh parak. And if a person forgot to say Yalav Yovo in benching on Rish Chodesh, so one need not repeat the benching because no one told you to pass in the first place. So you weren't mechuyev to pass, and then the lack of Bichsabaz was a Nishkefelach. The lack of Yalav Yovo was a Nishkefelach. But if on Shabbos, if you forgot to say Ritzei, so the Gemara says then you have to repeat the benching. Why? Because since you have to eat pass on Shabbos, so you're not saying Ritzei is tantamount that you didn't really bench, you didn't really bench, you didn't really eat your pass, and you didn't, you know, why you'd say somehow the whole picture of Suda Shabbos. So therefore you have to go and repeat the benching. So the Gemara says, Pemola in Maseches Brachas in the seventh parak, that you have to eat pass on Shabbos. If Rabbi Natan is right, that you don't eat pass on Shabbos, so why is Shabbos any different than Rish Chodesh? So the Talmidei Rabbi Yonah in Maseches Brachas defend Rabbi Natan and say that we misread Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan said that Suda Shabbos doesn't require pas. He meant exactly what he said. That Suda Shabbos tacha does not require pas. It doesn't say anywhere. It says Chayav Adam Lechem Gimel Sudas B'Shabbos. Restate that you have to eat bread. But says the Rabbi Yonah, it's two dinim, two halachas, that you have to eat bread for another reason according to Rabbi Natan. There are two different halachas. Alts the mitzvah of Gimel Sudas Yitachan Not Mechuyev to eat bread. What do you have to eat bread for? L'kayim the din of Ein Kiddush El B'Lechem Suda. So avada lemaisa, roch lemaisa, practically you mechuyev to eat bread according to Rabbi Natan, but the chiyev does not emanate from the mitzvah of gimel sudas. The chiyev emanates from kiddush b'macham suda. So my nafkumi, at the end of the day, I ate the bread anyway. So at the end of the day, I thought I lost the total calories, and I got the total calories right back again. So my nafkumi, whether the chiyev is emanating from kiddush b'macham suda, the chiyev emanates from gimel sudas. What's the answer? It's big nafkumi. What? Shalosh shuddas is nafkumi. So we assume that shalosh shuddas doesn't require kiddush. Friday night requires Kiddush Min HaTorah. Shabbos morning requires Kiddush Min HaRabbanan. And Shalosh Shuddas doesn't require Kiddush at all. The Rambam has a unique sheet that at some, it's not even clear what the Rambam said. The Rambam speaks about in Kiddush by Shalosh Shuddas. So there are different opinions whether the Rambam even meant that, or whether you should have wine at the meal. He speaks about being Kaveya Sudas Shlishas Alayayim. So it's not clear that he means you have to mamash make a formal Kiddush. Or did you just mean they should make half a cup of wine and all the meal to give Chashiv a little, add a little bit to the Oli, to spice up the Shalosh Shuddas a little bit. But the Ikra didn't, whatever the Rambam meant, most of Rishonim hold that there is no requirement, the Rabbi Tam included, there is no requirement of having Kiddush for Shalosh Shuddas. So there's no requirement to have Kiddush for Shalosh Shuddas, so the whole Chiyuv of Pas was only emanating from Kiddush, two and two together, so that for Shalosh Shuddas you don't require bread. So when Rabbi Tam said that you don't need bread for Suda Shabbos, he didn't mean to say Lamais, 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 you don't have to eat any challah at all on Shabbos. He meant to say Suda Shabbos per se is not a Mechayev of challah, but Kiddush is a Mechayev of challah. And therefore, Friday night you need it, Shabbos morning you need it, but Shalosh Shuddas can get away with it. That's the famous Shittas Rabbi Natan that says that lamais, you don't have to have bread, you don't have to wash and bench for Shalosh Shuddas, you just have to eat Mina Tagima. Then you have to plug it, whatever you think Mina Tagima are. So those people who are very mezalzel in Shalosh Shuddas, they don't eat Shalosh Shuddas, they think they're following Rabbi Natan. They claim they're following the Shittas Rabbi Natan. So we have to analyze this Shittas Rabbi Natan that's presented by Rabbi Yona. What exactly did Rabbi Natan say? What did he not say? So one thing Rabbi Natan clearly said, if this is the Pshat of Rabbi Natan, he clearly disagreed with the Gaonim. Because the Gaonim and the Shulchan Aruch's whole thrust was that for the purpose of Kiddush B'Macham Suda, you don't need Pas altogether. According to Rabbi Natan, that's the only reason why you need Pas. So Rabbi Natan is Mamash Kemech, this is a 180 degree difference between the Gaonim and the Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Natan. According to Rabbi Natan, Avad, Kiddush B'Macham Suda dictates that you need Pas. That is the only reason why you need Pas altogether. But it's also conceptually difficult with Rabbeinu Tam, because l'chari, you have to be consistent what you think the definition of Suda means. If you think that Suda doesn't require Pas, like Rabbeinu Tam argues based on the Gemara and Sukkah, and he extended, he extrapolated to Gimel Sudas, so if the definition of Suda in Halachapedia is not require Pas, so how come for the purpose of Kiddush B'Macham Suda, all of a sudden it does? Why does the word Suda change in different areas of Halacha? So this is probably a throwback to what we mentioned last week, that the Reshbam, who happened to Rabbeinu Tam's older brother, the Reshbam in Pesachim writes that there are two reasons why you require Kiddush B'Macham Suda. One is to karas l'Shabbos Oynig, and the other one was to create the status of Yayin Choshev. So maybe Rabbeinu Tam's Shita is as follows. Maybe according to the second understanding of the Reshbam, Rabbeinu Tam makes a lot of sense, that the real bare-bone minimum, the definition of a Suda, doesn't really require Pas. So therefore, in Rabbi Eliezer's Yudal Sudas, you don't really need Pas. And for our requirement of Gimel Sudas and Shabbos, you don't really require Pas. But Kiddush B'Macham Suda is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not really the Kiddush B'Macham Suda. The goal of the Suda is not just halachically to have a Suda. The goal of the Suda is to grant Chashivas to the Yayin. So we colloquially call it Kiddush B'Macham Suda, because usually Suda is what grants Chashivas to the Yayin. One can argue that for Medev Ramamurim, the Yayin takes on the significance. That's that you toast, and then you sit down and you have a piece of challah. So if you make a toast, then you have an apple. You make a toast, and you have a bowl of Cheerios. You have a toast, and you have a piece of lakshim. That's not called the Yayin Choshev. So even though it's technically a Suda for Sukkah purposes, for Shabbos purposes, but to accomplish the goal of Kiddush B'Macham Suda, you need more than just a Suda. You need two Dittmin, a Suda, and it has to be a Suda Chashuva. So maybe that's the rationale behind Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam has this whole razzle-dazzle mahalach that licked in this Rabbeinu Tam's mahalach, according to Tamir Ben Yonah's understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, it comes out that Rabbeinu Tam is the Bar Plukta of the Goyim. Rabbeinu Tam is the Bar Plukta of the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, that Kiddush B'Macham Suda doesn't require Ayayay Suda. Do we accept this Rabbeinu Tam mahalacha? So most of the Rishon HaKodesh themselves say that it's not true. Tosfos understood the Gemara Kipshuto in Brachos. So the Gemara says you have to have bread on Shabbos. That meant because of Suda Shabbos. I restate that you have to have bread for Suda Shabbos. And Rabbeinu Tam's Raya from Sukkah is correct. So Tosfos also had a brisk Ratiya to them. Tosfos says, no, there are two dinim by Suda Shabbos. It's not enough just to have a bare-bone definition of a Suda. In order to fulfill Suda Shabbos, it has to be Zeche Laman. The whole goal of Suda Shabbos is Yom HaShechlu HaYoim. It should serve as a Zeche to the Man. So Tosfos writes, the Man was Lechem. Again, it wasn't really literally Lechem that grows in the ground. It was B'Seis Hashem Lechem in HaShemayim. He needed Lechem in HaShemayim. So it had the status of Lechem. It had such a status of Lechem, some who say that they mamish benched on it. We talked about this last year. There was a chi of the arayis of Berachas Hamazon. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was tikkun Yisrael, the first nusach of the brach of Berachas Hamazon. So it sounds like they were benching in the midbar. What were they benching on? Nobody was eating pizza in the midbar. Nobody was eating bagels in the midbar. They were all eating man. And after bichay, they were mechuyim benching. Why? Because the din of lechem, the din of benching is etz shalosah b'shkenus tachabal lechem. Lechem is a mechayev of benching. So lechem is usually defined in Kol Tarkula as chameshet min yedavon. That's chameshet min yedavon mixed with water thrown through an oven. That's the definition of lechem. And then there's a second definition of lechem called man. So in terms of we would have man b'zman hazeh, we would also be mechuyim to bench the rice. We happen not to have it. So in the brachas bees, they don't ask the question more, brach you make on man. The Achabarim talk about what brach you make on man. So some Achabarim write, you make amotzi lechem in Hashemayim. That was the brach that they made. So the question is a little bit of a strange question, what brach they made on man, because the pashas in the halach is that brach senen was only instituted in the Rabbanon. It was instituted much, much later. They weren't making any brach senen except for brach senen in the days of the Midbar. Except the Achabarim asked the kash, you must have like the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua says that brach senen are deraisa. So the svar of Asalad, Jahanas, was every brach is a svar deraisa. They were making brachas even in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the pashas and Devarim is the whole conversation is that it's a strange discussion. But getting back to our story. So Tosfos writes in Masechta Sukkah that we cannot accept Rabbeinu Tam. Because even though Rabbeinu Tam is right that the bare bone definition of a suda means even mini tagima, as plays out in terms of Hilchas Suda B'Sukkah, but in terms of a chasuda b'Shabbos, so suda Shabbos needs more. Suda Shabbos requires that it be dumi demonis, be zeichel amon, and therefore it has to have lechem. So la halacha that there is a machlekes of Rabbeinu Tam in the Baalei Tosfos. What's the din halacha nice? Can you be yetzi shel shudas with anything short of lechem? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, yes, you can. Because there's no chiyuv of suda, so then suda doesn't require anything more than just minit tagima. According to Tosfos, any time you have a chiyuv suda Shabbos, including shalosh shudas, you have to make it as a zeichel amon, and zeichel amon by definition requires bread. So how should we pass in the halacha? So according to Rabbeinu Yoina, told us this Rabbeinu Tam is hinging upon his disagreement with the Gaonim. The only way we can understand Rabbeinu Tam, the only way we can understand Rabbeinu Tam shita is to say that he must disagree with the Gaonim. Because if Rabbi Yitzchak that Rabbeinu Tam held like a Gaonim, the Kiddush Machom Suda doesn't require bread, and then Rabbeinu Tam said Suda Shabbos doesn't require bread, then you're 0 for 2, and there's no chiyuv of bread on Shabbos, which is wrong. That's an impossibility. Because the Gemara says black and white. You can't contradict the Gemara. The Gemara says black and white, the seventh prayer of Brachas, if you missed Ritzei on Shabbos, you must repeat the benching. And the Gemara says Pemoli, the reason is because you mechuyev to eat bread on Shabbos. So something's got to give. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you can't turn around and say Rabbeinu Tam holds like the Gonim and Rabbeinu Tam holds like himself, or else then he's mamashka the old command, he's against the Pharisee Gemara. So you have to be consistent. So either you want to be a Rabbeinu Tam person or you want to be a Gonim person. So we like to be Gonim people because we go to Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So we go to Kiddush on Shabbos morning, we eat cake and we call it a day, and then we're yet to Kiddush Machom Suda with that. How in the world are you going to turn around later in Shalosh Shudas and tell me I'm not eating bread, I'm not washing for Shalosh Shudas because I hold like Rabbeinu Tam? So Rabbeinu Tam, you can't have the, it's Achav B'Shnei Roshim, it's Mamash Atati Desasri. It's worse than Davi Mincha at 7 o'clock on Friday. It's Mamash Atati Desasri. Because if you're willing to be Maker like the Gaonim, then you can't turn around and be Maker like Rabbeinu Tam. The two sheets are contradictory one to another. So you choose, I don't know whichever one you want. You want to be Maker like Rabbeinu Tam, then you can't go to Kiddushes on Shabbos morning. So if I take a survey, most people, people like to go to Kiddushes on Shabbos morning. They don't like to wash at the Kiddushes. They like to just rely on the Shittas HaGoyim. Because if they, Shulchan Aruch quotes, then you can't turn around and say, I believe in Rabbeinu Tam. Because if you really believe in the Gaonim, and you believe in Rabbeinu Tam together, then you're against the Gemara, and that you can't be. So Lefiyanis Daiti, since the Minhag Yisrael is to eat at Kiddushes on Shabbos morning, people should not rely on this Rabbeinu Tam. Their Taka should not just have Mezoinus or Minhagim or something for Shalosh Shudas. They should wash and bench. B'diavad, if a person went ahead and forgot Ritzei by Shalosh Shudas, so the poskim are making that maybe you shouldn't bench over again, because maybe they spake a brachas l'nafka, so in deference to Rabbeinu Tam, maybe we're not going to repeat the benching by Shalosh Shudas. According to Tosfos, you have to repeat benching by Shalosh Shudas also, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, you would only have to repeat the benching Friday night and Shabbos morning, because those are the only two cases that the Gemara is referring to and say that you have to eat bread. But again, those are the shasat chach, b'diavad cases. Normal protocol should be you should have a normal suda with washing and benching and shalosh shudas.
What if you have like kavas pabakasin or something like that? They're not necessarily kavas suda, but still like has some type of sense.
It's probably just mezonos, unless you kavas suda. If you kavas suda, then maybe it'll count as bread. But if you're not kavas suda, then it's like any other mezonos bepashtas. I remember I was once invited to be like a scholar in residence for Shabbos before I was married. They sent me this on some out of town community. So I was supposed to be like the guest featured speaker at Shalosh Shudas or something. So they It was in June, and Shalshus was very late, 8:30 Shalshus. So I figured, wow, it's going to be, you know, no one's eating for the last 7 hours. It's going to be a real Muhammad Shalshus. Yeah, they're paying me, they're flying me out this week. I'm sure it's going to be a real Gala Shalshus. They come, there were potato chips and pretzels. There was much nothing there. There was no challah, nothing. So I had to rely on them. Better than nothing. So I ate a couple of pretzels and called that Shalshus. So I remember a little while later, I went to another community this week. I figured this time no one's going to outsmart me. So I brought my own challah rolls along. So late in the day, in the afternoon, before I went to Mincha, so I felt like I didn't want to embarrass the host I was staying at. I shouldn't think I did. So I felt like in Russia, KGB, like I had to make sure no one was watching. And inside my room, I locked the door, and I washed quickly, and then I ate a challah roll, and showed sing a skin of sadas, or whatever, and I'd say shal shiris. And then I come to the shal shiris and shiris. Mom was kiyad ha-melech, could use it the week before. But it was a good thing I ate before, because by the time they sat down, it was after shkia, so anyway, get back to the story. So you have two different approaches about this whole Kiddush Baruch Hu Suda story, where the Kiddush Baruch Hu Suda is good enough to follow the Goyim. What's that practice? So we said most people follow the Mekilim. So the Rav was not so sure that the Minhag HaOlam was really to be Mekil. The Minhag HaOlam is to be Mekil, but the Rav wasn't sure whether the Lomdus of the Minhag HaOlam is just to be Mekil outright like the Goyim. So the Rav said maybe the reason why people are so lenient, where the Minhag HaOlam is to be so lenient that Kiddush is Shabbos morning, people don't wash, is based on a combination of Tziruf HaShitas. What's a Tziruf HaShitas? The Gemara says in Pesachim, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, not allowed to even water before Kiddush. So most of the Rishonim say that didn't apply as Bein Bayom, Bein Balayim. Even though Kiddush Bayom was only in the Rabbanon, but Tikkun Rabbanon, they were Sakhar again, all the Chumras of Kiddush in Friday night, and that din, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, carries over to Shabbos morning as well. So there's a Raibit that disagrees. The Raibit says, no, you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. That is, it was never instituted for eating before Kiddush and Shabbos morning. Many women rely on that right, but they don't even know they're relying on that right. A lot of women who eat Shabbos morning, so some of them allow mitzchus and the women who eat before Kiddush, they're relying on that right. But we usually don't follow that right. So the Rav said that when people go to Kiddush on Shabbos morning and they make Kiddush and then they have a piece of cake, so what they're really relying on is as follows, that maybe the Goyim are right. We don't know the Goyim are right. The Rav was like, the Gra's Messiah. So the Gra didn't think the Goyim were right. The Gra thought that Rebbe Tam is right. The Gra thought that you shouldn't eat the Kiddushes. So the minhag HaOlam is, and some Sfeik Speker, maybe the Goyim are right, that Kiddush Baruch Hu is good enough with cake, and Al Tzad that the Goyim are not right, so then we always have the Raivit in our back pocket. And according to the Raivit, you're allowed to eat before Kiddush anyway. So Dal Me'ocha, so make believe I wasn't Yetzi. I wasn't Yetzi, so I can still eat before Kiddush, nothing wrong. What would be the ramifications of the Rav's Pshat? The Rav's Pshat is correct. What would the consequences be? So first of all, we would never rely on this on Friday night. We would never let you get away with the Shvach and Kiddush Baruch Hu on Friday night, which we generally don't, except for the one guy making Kiddush and Shul, you know, those crazy cases. But normally nobody does this Friday night. Who was sugar on Friday night? Comes home, makes Kiddush, has a piece of cake. You wash. So everybody does it normally on Friday night. So the Rav said there's a reason why we don't do it on Friday night, not just because we're hungry. We don't do it on Friday night because Friday night we don't have the Raivin in our back pocket to rely on. And the other consequence of the Rav Shtukuta would be is that even though you ate it at Kiddush and Shul, you should make sure to make Kiddush again when you get home before you wash. Why? If you hold a conventional wisdom like the Goyim that you were Yotze with Teres Vada and finish a Yotze, so then I was Yotze, Kiddush Baruch Hu, would have to make a Kiddush again. But if you hold like the Rav, that we're not really convinced that we're Yotze, we think we're Yotze, we hope we're Yotze, we're dreaming that we're Yotze, it's faking that we're Yotze, so then you have to always have the Raivit in your back pocket. So the Raivit in your back pocket is not that you were Yotze, the Raivit is you weren't Yotze, but you're allowed to eat anyway. So therefore, if you weren't Yotze, you're allowed to eat anyway, but you're still missing, you're still chosen, it's a Kiddush. So you should make Kiddush again, it's the second time. Do you have anything to lose by making Kiddush a second time on Shabbos morning? Very little to lose. It's a bar piyavav, bar piyavav, you can say whatever you want. It's a v'shamu, it's a v'shamu v'tom, v'zochel v'tom, let us say, there's nothing wrong with that. So you have nothing, there's nothing to lose, everything to gain by making Kiddush second time around. That's what some people do. Some people follow that practice of the Rav, they, even though they may have eaten a Kiddush and Shul, but when they come home an hour later, they'll go ahead and they'll make Kiddush second time around in order to be Yaitse, in a sense, the Choladei is Kiddush Malcham Suda. So basically, the bottom line is that the halacha definitely requires Kiddush Malcham Suda, whether it's based on Yad Chosha, based on Kosh Shavzonik. The bottom line, it's necessary. How you define Kiddush Malcham Suda is a machlokes the Gaon and Rabbeinu Tam. And of course, this topic really, in a sense, leads us into the next major topic in terms of Suda Shabbos. What exactly is Suda Shabbos? Where does Suda Shabbos come from? So the word Shabbos says it's based on Pesukim for the month, so hopefully we have a work cut out for us to try to figure out what exactly the parameters of Suda Shabbos are. That'll be our next major topic we're going to show you next year. I assume next Wednesday we're off. Tannis Esther, 5 o'clock, probably not too many people are sitting and learning Hilchos Shabbos at that point. Okay, so hopefully that's shown the following week, we'll be back on, all right? Then the week after that, I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, so we may miss a few weeks here and there, but we'll try to keep as best on talking as we can. Okay, so we have to show them 2 weeks, we'll be back on.